Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Houston is all systems go.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Roger Clemens joining us this morning. Unfortunately, we couldn't get him yesterday because phones, because that, because technology. But we have him today right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Roger, welcome in. How you doing?
Good morning, man.
How about that? Okay, let's start with Christian Javier, or excuse me, with Jose Urquidy and what he did after an average season at best for Jose Urquidy. Just another guy like Jose Abreu, did not have a great year, but they step up in the postseason, Roger. It's a different deal when you can perform at the highest level under this kind of pressure.
Yeah, large marge. I mean, he was a strike thrower. So that's just another weapon now. And now that Dusty sat back and watched it, he's going to have a ton of confidence to get him out there again. I mean, he's a strike thrower, so... And he did just that, you know, having that time off. But, you know, the defense, we talked about defense and pitching. I'll keep harping on it. I mean, Pena's the double play, you know, that settled that down, that game down immediately. Bregman made a fantastic backhand play. You know, those are big for pitchers, man. They give you momentum, and you keep attacking the strike zone, which is going to be important for this series, because this series is going to be like, I think the most difficult thing to do is when you're a starter and you face the team at home, and 4 days later you start against them at third place on the road. So there's, I would think, you know, a situation like this is similar to back in the day when I faced a Cal Ripken or George Brett. When they come to the plate, we face each other over 100 at bats, and there's nothing in my windup or my pitch selection that they haven't seen. I've seen their 3 or 4 different batting stances. So, you know, it's going to be game on. What did the Rangers do? The Rangers scored. I don't know what the time off's going to do for either team. You know, everybody has to sit back and watch that. But I think the Rangers scored 21 runs in their 3-game sweep. So, you know, the middle of their lineup's pretty solid too right now. But I still think, obviously, the advantage is our bullpen, Astros bullpen.
I got to follow up on Large Marge, first of all. Large Marge, reference to the Pee Wee Herman, shout, you know, RIP Pee Wee. Does Large Marge mean a guy came up big, like has the big ones and came up big, or does it refer to the ability to just air out the strike zone and hit it wherever you want? What is Large Marge in your – I've heard you say this before. What does Large Marge mean?
Well, it pertains to what he was able to do coming out, which really nobody knew how – you know, he said all the right things. He seemed confident. He was appreciative of the opportunity, and he went out there and performed. But what it does now is you can fire him in there again, and hopefully somebody, you know, like I said, just like the announcers or anybody else, everybody's like, if you go 5 innings, it's a wow. That's a wow factor right now. I mean, for us, it was for us back in the day, you know. And again, I hate saying that, but you know, our deal was to get to the 7th, maybe the 8th, and start eating out. So then you could bring in Presley, and he only has to get 3 or 4 outs. You see a guy come in the 8th and get 4 monster outs for us. We had, I had wonderful closers over my 24 years. You know, nobody like Rivera, but Mariano. When I started laboring, I sit there and tell my pitching coach, our little deal was, now I'm going to eat outs for you. I know I'm laboring a little bit. Give me the eye and heart test with all the stuff with analytics these days. But give me an eye and a heart test. Ask me how I'm feeling. I feel like I can start eating. So now I'm on the mound and I'm warming up. I know if the first guy gets on, I'm out of there. So it makes it a little more intense for me to get going, get a punch out, a ground ball, fly ball, whatever it is. Now there's only four outs to get. And Urquidy, now you can count on him. You know, he's a strike thrower. But both lineups know, you know, all the pitching staff. Maldi's going to be back there, which he did another fantastic job. I've told you guys before, there's the aggressiveness of the Astros hitters needs to stay the same. Because there's no fastball counts when you. It seems like a lot of these guys. You watch how many guys get to 3-2 in the count to throw a breaking ball.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Even the guys that throw 98 to 100,
right,
they get 3-2 and they throw a friggin' breaking ball.
Carlos was talking about that after the game, that they were pitching backwards, and it was in large part because of Maldonado.
Yeah, but they've done that for a long time.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
Like that's what they do. Yeah. It's almost every pitcher will not afraid to throw breaking pitches on 3-2 counts.
A couple of things there, Roger. First of all, I saw you retweet when George Kirby said, you know, I was at 90 pitches and I shouldn't have been in the game. Can you even imagine saying something like that when you were I didn't want to go back out there for that inning because I was already at 90 pitches?
Yeah, it was incredible. But, again, it's a product of how they're bringing the guys up in the minor leagues. And it has to do, again, with these analytics. Like you said, he was at 90. I think he said he was at 91 pitches.
And, can you imagine?
Yeah. So I mean, especially when you're in a pennant run and stuff like that. There's just still a few throwbacks too. And you know what? Hey, I haven't heard. I don't know if you guys. I see that Scherzer's throwing bullpens right now.
Yeah.
He's a throwback guy, but you know you're going to have to watch him being. You know, I don't know if he'll come out of the bullpen, if he'll start a game. Valdi, you know, he's tough. He attacks. So the guy you hope get in there right now, and I've watched him over his career, is Chapman. Man, he can't throw a strike right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be surprised if Boach brings him, you know, gets him in any kind of crucial situation.
Back to something you said, okay, in your head. Did you have a guy that was in you faced Cal Ripken and other guys, whoever it is, George Brett.
George
whatever.
Brett, he was pretty good.
So, the Astros in the Rangers' head right, after scoring 39 runs in three games up there? Are the Astros at all in the Rangers' head? And if they are, what do you do as a pitcher when a guy is in your head?
Yeah, the pitcher part of it. Yeah, I think again, like I said, there's so much. There's not a lot of unknown with. You know, how you expect to work guys. And, again, I think Maldi will pitch their hitters similar like he has. You got to know your pitcher, though. If his stuff is on, you got to go with your guy. And you know, I come out of the bullpen. You had some terrible warm-ups in the bullpen. But once you come out and get on that main mound in front of the fans and the lights being bright, as they say, you can get going pretty good. There was more than two handful of times where I warmed up with Ausmus, and Ausmus gave me that funny look coming out of the bullpen. I said, just stay with me. Let me get down the main mound in front of our fans, and here we go, their energy. But again, yeah, the what the Astros did to the Rangers the last time they matched up was incredible. So those guys are going to have to, you know, they're thinking about it, no doubt about it.
So when it comes to a series like this, and you're going to pitch like where you would have pitched, you'd probably face the team twice. You'd probably face the hitters maybe as much as six times in the order over two games. Do you go back? So so what's going to happen is Justin Verlander will work with how much input does he have? Does he have a day where he and, let's say, Josh Miller, the pitching coach, and Bill Murphy, the two pitching coaches, and Maldonado – are they going to – you have all the data there for all the different hitters. Do you go back to how you have pitched them? Do you go back to data that you have on how you've pitched those guys throughout the year so you know what they're expecting? Like, can you take us through the what it's like to prepare for a series like this as a pitcher when it comes to the, you know, the schematics of it along with the pitching coach and the catcher?
Well, okay, so take JV, for example. He'll wake up in the morning. He'll know the lineup. He'll know if they've stuck anybody else in there that he really doesn't know, but he knows this lineup. He's faced them enough, and more importantly, Maldi knows JV and the lineup. And so he'll notice it, you know, you'll notice right away with JV if he's got 95 in the upper part of the zone and it has that late life where his arm's feeling good. even with this layoff. I'm sure he's thrown a couple small, quality bullpens, not quantity, but quality bullpens to keep his arm, with that quick, those quick muscles firing. But you'll look for that, and you'll look for the depth of his curveball. If it's really sharp and it's snapping, they'll recognize that right out of the gate. And it's just like any of the your main starters, you want to get them backing up bases early. You want to get on them early if you can. Again, the first three innings, what we look at, I always look at if my team scores and I'm down under the tunnel and I know my guys just put up one or two, I have to go out and get the leadoff guy. I have to throw a zero right there. It's a momentum getter. Get my guys back in the dugout. The first and fourth innings are super important because, obviously, the first inning you're trying to get momentum. If my team was struggling, I would try and go out. I would warm up a little bit longer and try and punch a couple guys out in the first inning to get the momentum going. The fourth inning is super important because you're facing the middle of the lineup a second time. They've seen you again. And in this situation, they've seen you again, again, and again because these two teams know each other very well. So it could get into a little bit of a chess match. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on. And then I'll look to see when guys get on base if they're going to put pressure on the defense and run a little bit more. So it's just, you just sit back and say, okay, it's no. Again, guys, the thing that I look at is when I face maybe a younger team. And back in the day, like a Pittsburgh or Minnesota, back when they were young and everybody had 1 or 2 years in the league, they came after me they were tying their shoes in the locker room getting ready to swing. And so I had to go quality fastball, and then I start split, back-to-back splits to slow their game up a little bit, if you will, to slow them down and make them settle in. Then we had a real game where guys were taking borderline pitches, and they weren't so aggressive.
Roger Clemens, brought to you by John Daspit right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We really appreciate John Daspit for bringing us just quality. You don't hear this anywhere else. So Roger Clemens talking baseball. Let's talk. Lance and I were talking a little while ago, Roger, about getting to their bullpen because their bullpen is terrible. And do you get less aggressive? Do you want to see Eovaldi or Montgomery throwing more pitches? So do you get more selective as a hitter, or do you stay aggressive and maybe go after that first pitch if you like it?
Yeah, we've got two or three guys in the lineup for our Astros that are going to just be aggressive. I'm going to be as curious as you guys and everybody listening how they're going to pitch Yordan in certain situations. So, but Eovaldi, Montgomery, I think the third Haney is their other one. Good arms, but if they don't execute and hopefully the layoff won't have anybody dragging, through their first at bat through the lineup a little bit. They're not seeing a super live arm. I think the guys are going to pretty much stay with their game plan. And you're right. If they can jump on some guys and get them out of there by the fourth inning, get to the bullpen, they should be in the driver's seat, I guess you would say.
Yeah, no, it'd be a big advantage to get them out of the game. And what would you expect? Okay, so you're coming back. Like, Scherzer hasn't pitched for so long, and what would you want to do if you're Scherzer coming back with this layoff and not having a rehab start, not just going cold out there now?
Yeah, I'm not so sure you don't bring him in a matchup problem instead of starting him for two innings. I don't know what's going on. I'm talking with not a lot of information other than seeing that he is throwing some bullpens. So, you can throw all the little minor league starts you want or simulated games you want. When you get in a big league game and it's game on, it's a whole different feel to find out if you are really healthy or not.
Yeah, this is – I tell you what, man, this is it's exciting, Roger, because this is, from the Yankees feel like the Astros' big rival, rival in the American League right now. But this would be fantastic if this is, and this is the beginning of what is going to be, I think, a legitimate, real rivalry between these two teams. And it's in the same state. And, the Astros have the mental edge. They've been there before. They've got players with with that experience. Rangers don't have clearly as many. Astros just beat the brakes off of them in Arlington. But, man, that's a red-hot Ranger team. So this is – it's really going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how this develops. But let's face facts. At some point, the Astros have to become a better home team. I mean,
they do have to be a better home team. We hope it gets to the point where they, you know, from what I understand, that if they can get past them, then and the Phillies go, the Phillies get the advantage again. But let's just hope we get to that point. But you're right. This is some kind of special deal where you have the Lone Star State rivalry here, and it's so cool. I have so many people in the Dallas Arlington area. My wife Debbie was born in Arlington. And there's some. I'm getting texts from golf pros up there from all the golf courses about if we come up, and they're fired up. So this is going to be fun.
They want us, me and you. They want us to play up there when we go up there.
I think the most important trivia that your listeners don't know, between you and I, we have 7 Cy Young awards.
That's right. Me and you.
Make sure you don't forget it, because I was a wee when we were gonna go up there and golf.
You're right. When me and you with our 7 Cy Youngs go up there, then we're gonna play some golf.
Absolutely. Throw in an MVP while you're at it.
No way. Hey, yeah. Congrats, John.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. No.
Congratulations on that.
I remember when John had 20 strikeouts
against. I remember when John struck out. Well, I can't remember if it was you or John struck out 20 against the Mariners, but.
We did, but anybody can do that once also.
One time.
Yeah.
One time. That's not our greatest accomplishment.
While we're looking in the media guide, let's just go get deep in there.
Yeah.
I have your rookie.
And
I
said I was throwing the bullpen to get ready just in case, you know, you have one of those 18-inning games where I'm the Lone Ranger out there.
Right. No.
You might be.
Yeah. I was out there watching paint dry, and next thing you know, I'm in this frigging game.
No, right. No.
Were you a rookie in 85, Roger?
84.
84. Okay, so it's the 85 card, though. So I have your rookie card. I do not have John's rookie card.
No.
Roger's rookie card.
Go a little deeper. You'll find it.
Yeah.
He's blowing a bubble. I think the bubble burst on his face. You'll see it.
Thank you a lot. Hey, John Dass, but I want to give you a second thank you for bringing Roger on to just waylay John here in the last minute and a half.
Well, we will hear from Roger on Monday because we got a Sunday night game. We'll hear from him on Tuesday because he's going to continue to join us right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, way to go, guys, on paying your bill so I could actually call in today.
We're excited about it, too,
It was a little
Roger.
Late, and AT&T just shut us down for some whatever, AT&T.
I know it.
You want your money. Roger, as always, we appreciate it, man. Let's go. This is what a great, great weekend this is going to be. I got a question for you, though. When the Astros play the Yankees, how do you go about that one? Both of those.
It's cake. I go down to the stadium. I sign all the stuff for both teams, and I wish them well, and I get out of there, and I come home
watch on TV, and then nobody knows. It's got to be tough for you. It's got to be tough.
It's cake.
I get out of there.
You got good job. Roger Clemens with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Roger, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, boys. Peace.
All right. Me and him, 7 Cy Youngs.
Man, that's impressive.
That is impressive. I'm telling you, I worked hard for that, too.
An MVP that people don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
Between you guys.
You need to talk about
that. I think you're missing something that you should have mentioned. Between you and Roger, a mug award, too, as well.
Yeah, oh, you could have. Yeah.
So, also, did you get one, or did I get one?
I think it was you.
It was me?
And also, you remember Houston.
Did I get a mug award?
You and Roger Clemens were. You both have, you know, between the two of you, there is a Houston Press Best Radio Show Award, too.
Yeah, right.
Me, you, and Roger.
Yeah.
Which is good that between all of us, an MVP, a Houston Press Award, 7 Cy Youngs, a first place finish in a prime. I think between all of us,
we made first
or second place.
Between us, we made the playoffs in fantasy football last year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Between the
chop,
two of us.
There was probably a chop at a table also in a poker tournament.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, between us, we've got a lot of accolades.
Yeah.
A lot of accolades.
A story Andy Pettit in there too. The numbers just get even higher.
Yeah. No. Let's. Why don't you talk about John Daspit?
Why don't I talk about Daspit? Yeah. Speaking of accolades, John Daspit's the one who brings Roger Clemens to us. Every single week he makes a donation to Rogers. Roger has a great foundation. And, you know, something that Daspit does is I've talked about him with NIL. I've been involved with him with the NIL stuff. He's done things with University of Texas, University of Houston. Those are the two schools
that he went to. I know he's working with A&M on something. He's done Arkansas and Georgia. He's got offices that he's expanding his empire, so to speak. But you may not see him. You know, his TV commercials that he has are really good quality commercials. He's not somebody who's trying to hit you with bricks and throw fire on you and all that stuff. He's just a guy who's out there trying to, there's no gimmicks really. There's just hard work. That if hard work is a gimmick, okay, I guess. But John and his lawyers are going to work really hard for you from Jump Street, and they are going to do what it takes to get all the information necessary so that they get you compensated for your injuries. He's a personal injury lawyer who is the best in Texas. He's expanding outside of Texas, but his home base is still right here in Texas, right here in the Houston area, and points, you know, northwest, east, and south. And he is going to fight for you, whether it's an accident on the roadways, at work, offshore, the maritime accidents. It really doesn't matter. John Daspit's the guy who has the best understanding and will get you the biggest settlements. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DASPITlaw.com or call 713-CALL-NOW.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, dude.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your daily distraction from the horrific reality of your very existence. Man, I didn't know it was that bad. But hey, it's John and Lance.
So me and Raj are going to go. I don't know if he wants to go play golf with me up there in Dallas area. I don't know. I didn't get a lot of calls from golf pros up there about coming up and playing.
Well, Sonny said come play his course.
It's a disc golf.
No, he said another one. He said both.
He said you want to break chains with you.
No, he said, we can break chains at this park. You have two different parks.
Yeah, I know, but I don't.
One of them was a real golf course.
Oh, was a real golf course?
Yeah, and the other one was a golf course that you played.
Well, really? So who's going to get better golf courses, SMU Sonny or Roger Clemens? Let's take a guess.
SMU Sonny's a golf pro.
He's not a golf pro?
Yes, he is. That's his course.
What are you talking about?
He's a golf
pro. He's a disc golfer.
No, he plays. He's a golf pro. He played in the Texas Amateur Championship. We met him when he was down here.
Meet the team, John.
SMU Sonny?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
He shot a 68.
He plays disc golf.
SMU Sonny is a golf pro.
You're lying.
I know. This whole thing is a lie.
This whole thing.
That's my acting. No, I went to the Alley Theater. I saw acting. I'm like, that looks like something I could do.
No.
It looks like something I have.
You would be emoting, it was just hamming it up.
Did you see what I just did, though? I fooled you, and you're like, oh, what?
You didn't fool him, though.
No.
I did fool him.
No, you didn't.
He tried to keep up the facade of being cynical.
There was no facade.
The facade of cynicism.
Is not going to get on the same courses that Roger Clemens is going to get on.
Yeah.
Period.
I had you believing he was a golf pro.
No. But we're playing Wildcat today with all the West Virginia people. By the way, Chase is listening. And sorry, Chase. It was the exact opposite of Brad Lidge last night. Last night was the exact opposite of Brad Lidge, where it's euphoria. I guess that was West Virginia's Brad Lidge moment.
Mm-hmm.
Euphoria, going to the World Series. Brad Lidge on the mound, Albert Pujols at the plate, and boom! And then it's over. And then that was the biggest moment of euphoria to despondence that I've ever been a part of. I've ever seen. I've never seen a place as loud and as quiet from one minute to the next as that moment. And then it was the exact opposite last night at TDECU Stadium. Despondent, 12 seconds left in the game. You know, it was huge, and it's been brought up a couple of times on Twitter, was the personal foul,
mm-hmm.
where they had to kick off from their own 20.
Yeah, gave you the chance. It gave you the chance for a play and a play.
Because you brought the ball back, 3 seconds used up on an out, and then threw the ball down the field and got the Hail Mary. And I'm going to be with a bunch of West Virginia people, the Dublin and Canstead guys, Wayne and Chase, taking us all out to Wildcat today to play.
Do they know that you said that West Virginia has to go back to their houses on stilts and wheels?
They don't. They know that now. Maybe they weren't up before, but now they know it. Thank you.
Well, you did say it. You can't run from it.
Hey, you can always pay your own.
That's terrible.
Your own fee at the golf course.
The problem
now
with John is he's the worst person for many reasons, but specifically because he doesn't really have an affiliation with the team. He goes in and out depending on who he knows. So nothing really hurts him. Like, the West Virginia people are devastated today about what happened. Yeah. I mean, they're grown men, so they'll get over it at some point. Yeah. But John's going to come in strolling in like, yeah, I know Coach Dana, so I root for the Cougs, and ha, 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 look what happened to you. And they could say anything to him. If Dana would have lost last night, they could say something to John, like, whatever. I'm here for golf.
Wait, so I want to ask you this. I think it's come up on the show before. We got to get to a break. We were late going on that one. So are you the guy – I know I've asked you this before. I don't remember your answer. Are you the guy that will text or call a friend after a difficult – like right after a difficult loss? Or do you have the common courtesy of going, all right, I'm going to leave him alone right now?
I leave him alone. I like to – I even left Ella alone after – the Miami thing.
Well, the thing with
but
that.
But then as soon as he walks in on Monday morning, crushing.
But okay. You can't crush me because Cristobal, I know who Cristobal is.
No, that hurt, Dell. It hurt you. Don't act like.
It hurt your
Can
life.
I act
it
like you expected to lose that one?
It's not expected to lose, but I know who Cristobal is, so I expect one of those to happen. I'd expect that one at the time, of course, because who does? But I'm out on Cristobal. So I have less hope than usual. So when that happens, I'm out. I'm done by 30 minutes later. I'm over it because he is who he is. If it was a coach I really believed in, it would really hurt
but
more.
I really enjoyed you, your misery.
Well, who do you – this is the problem. He doesn't really root for anyone, so there's nothing that hurts him.
Yeah.
So LSU loses whatever.
Knox,
that's my wife's team.
Knox
whatever.
College losses really hit me hard.
That's not true. So
I don't even know if
he doesn't know when they play, if they still have
don't
a team.
Care.
He doesn't know.
Don't care.
So he's a problem. He can float in and out of taking shots at
people. I don't care about
and
anything.
Nothing happens to him.
I'm like you, only with college football. I don't care.
Joe Burrow played bad.
No. Ooh. Don't say it.
That's
don't
true.
Say it.
This has been a tough time for him.
Until last week.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get to play the Cardinals every week.
That's true.
I'll tell you this. Well, Chase is texting me. He says, listen, I'm Team Dana. I really enjoyed Dana winning last night. So, you know what? And a lot of the West Virginia people.
Yeah, but
people,
he didn't go to West Virginia.
No, but a lot of West Virginia feel the same way. They really still like Dana. They really liked Dana.
He went to HBU. Even though Dana left them, they weren't.
Even Wayne, who went to West Virginia and is in their Hall of Fame,
is
a Dana fan.
But he knows Dana.
Right.
I think people who don't have drinks with Dana – who are West Virginia fans, a lot of them, left them for a school that wasn't even a Power Five school.
No, but here's the deal.
Because I know they were salty when that happened.
They're not Neil Brown fans, though.
Well, that may be the case.
Yeah. And would they like to have Dana back? Yeah, a lot of them would. It was the administration that got rid of Dana, pretty much. That's why Dana left West Virginia. So if that if they brought... it wouldn't hurt a lot of feelings if Dana didn't coach at U of H anymore and went back. It would not surprise me at all if Dana went back to West Virginia if this doesn't work out here at University of Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they really like Dana at West Virginia.
Well, you can go.
Does he know his house is going to be on stilts if he goes back?
No, he didn't have a house on
stilts.
Does
he have a house on wheels
Some
also?
People do. He did.
Chase, let the record reflect. I never said that. I just said y'all couldn't evaluate quarterback talent. In West Virginia.
Oh, see, you're
Will
a
Greer.
West Virginia hater.
I didn't say...
You're a hater.
I didn't say the people lived on wheels and stilts. I never said that.
You just
that.
Had a problem with David Stills, that's all.
No. Listen, we know what Morgantown is.
What is it?
We know what
so
it is.
Why would Dana want to go back there if he knows what it is?
He wouldn't want to go back. He wants to stay here. But, you know, everybody's trying to drive him out.
Well,
so...
Well, I mean, last night's potential loss wasn't going to help... People not wanting to drive him out.
Boy, you want to talk about a turnaround.
4th and 10, you give that up.
Oh, no. God, again, after Texas Tech last year, 4th and 20. Oh, my God, 4th and 10, and you give up a touchdown with 12 seconds left. Holy crap. Wow, is that bad. But it all worked out, didn't it? You know what else worked out? Give me the VIN.com. John Clay Wolf, he's awesome. John Clay Wolf is super at what he does. John Clay Wolf is the best. If you're looking for the best, a great way to get rid of that car. If you're looking to sell your vehicle, there's one place that you have to go, and that's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If you're looking for the best way to sell your vehicle, this is where you have to go. You know why? Because John Clay Wolf is going to give you more for your car. He absolutely will. He's the best. John Clay Wolf gives more for the vehicles, sells more. He's a couple of weeks ago, 1,000 cars at auction he sold. 1,000 at one auction. So you're looking for a great way to, you know why he had 1,000 cars to sell? Because he gives you more. People are selling him their cars because why would you want less for your vehicle? It's a car. So you want the most for it. You know where you get that? GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf is awesome. He's going to buy it. He says if he can't beat CarMax, he's going to send you $100. And he never sends out $100 because he's the best. You're looking for the best way to get rid of that vehicle. One place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
You never know what you're going to get.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's time to rejoin the undisputed best sports talk show in Houston. It's Clearly John and Lance, except no substitutes.
Welcome back. Honey, I just got a text from Michael over at Pete's about he's right. It is going to be a beautiful weekend to grill outside.
This is on my kids. This is how serious I'm about to say this. I had the best fajitas of my life. I told you this yesterday.
Yeah.
From Pete's Fine Meats. They got the meat.
Yeah.
It's all trimmed up, extraordinarily tender. It's just, you know, basically steak. He salt and peppered it. He seasoned it for me with seasoning, a marinade that I had never had before, because usually I just go salt and pepper on it, and then vacuum sealed it, and I let it sit for about 4 hours. And then I put it on the grill, just put it on real high heat, flames, all that stuff. It was the best, maybe the best I've ever had.
Really?
No, I'm
that's
not.
Saying something.
Like I said, on everything. Maybe the best I've ever had.
That's awesome.
So do not sleep on that. Yeah. I mean, I go there for steaks and
shrimp. The thing. So Michael had at Pete's, they have the steaks and they have the tri-blend burger and they have Wagyu and all of this stuff. And you went for a pork butt or something?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm Del, going a pork. All those meats?
Well, no.
Where are you on eating butt, Del?
No, I actually got picanha. I was going to go for the pork butt. I ended up getting picanha.
What'd you say?
Where are you on pork butt?
All these meats, and he's eating pork butt.
Well, you got a problem with butts now?
Where are you on eating butt?
Some people think you're a butt guy.
You're such a child.
We going to do that butt thing? Remember that song that you introduced to the show? All of a sudden you're going to pretend like you don't like butts?
Well, do you want me to ask that question one more time just to see if people didn't get what you're saying?
Go ahead.
You want to do it again?
No.
Where are you on pork butt?
No, where are you on pork butt? Of all the things to get from Michael,
pork
you're
shoulder,
pork
butt.
Butt.
Yeah, if you want to have some pulled pork? Yeah.
No, I ain't doing that.
Pork butt, pork shoulder?
I'm just getting.
Absolutely.
I'm getting the good part.
Which is what?
I don't know.
Bacon, ribs?
Yeah.
The hog is our most underrated animal.
Yeah.
Pork chops.
Oh, my gosh.
Bacon.
No, it's my go-to move. Pork chop is my go-to
The hog
move.
Is the greatest animal to eat. Pork chops, bacon.
Ask Raheel.
I got to tell you, it doesn't matter what Raheel thinks.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't eat any pig. They think pig is just a filthy animal.
It's too bad for them. I'm not living in Pulp Fiction.
No, I'm not either.
Here's what I'm living in: bacon, pork chops.
Yeah.
I've got ribs. I've got pulled pork, the pork butt, the pork shoulder. Have you ever had pickled pig's feet?
Nope.
My mom used to eat
Sounds
it pretty
atrocious.
Good. Hog maw.
I like to put a pork neck bone in my gravy.
Bro, the pork, the neck bone. You get some of the little pork pieces that you put in a stew or a chili or a soup or whatever makes it a whole lot better.
Yep.
Oh, the hog is a delicious treat forever.
Yeah, though.
Whole hog. My man Patrick Bejus does a great whole hog. He's known for being a whole hog guy.
Yeah, my brother-in-law used to put the whole pig skill on there, and it takes 8 hours.
It takes a skill. Well, I had one at Uncle Freddy's one time. He had what, and I can't remember what it's called. It's the Cuban way of cooking the hog, where you put the heat, you bury the hog usually, and it's you got heat on the bottom, heat on the top. It's the Cuban way of doing
that
it.
That crispy skin is the best.
Crispy skin. Yeah. Man, I may have to go to Fiji's today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this is a great weekend to barbecue and watch your games. Okay?
It really is.
Out on your Texas today, custom patio.
Now today.
Okay.
Today is. Oh, are you happy?
Oh, no, it's not.
Are you happy about today? May this guy make you excited. We get into the 90s again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah, you finally get out of this. This horrific 70s and low 80s weather, and we get to a
so
day
we go
of
to
91.
Wildcat and we play golf. That's what we
so
do.
So it'll be 91 today, yeah. But yeah. It cools down and we get to the 50s. So it's only one day. We just get one reminder like,
let's
hey.
Take a look. My poverty app.
You know what? This is like.
Today, 88. What are you talking about?
So 90? Like this. You know how you.
You're such a.
You know this? No, I don't. No one can trust your app.
You're such a hater.
You have to look at a real app that people have to
88. Pay. Hi. Thank
your
you.
App
good night.
Has been terrible forever.
Okay.
What about this? Whenever you have this, when somebody like used to see the bullies in school did that to you to see if you flinch, they would pop their chest out and their arms real fast like, boy, I don't. That's what 91 is today. If it gets to 90, it's just a reminder from the weather like, I could fuck you up if I wanted to.
Such a little girl.
I could you up if I wanted to.
I'm scared of 90. Ooh,
are you though?
John, it was literally 70, and you were talking about how freezing you were and that you were close to death.
Yeah, I was close to death.
You were worried
it was freezing
about hypothermia.
You know what I don't need? Not to know what the weather is. When I go out in the summer, I know it's going to be hot. I wake up every morning. I know it's going to be great out to go play golf.
That's not great.
So now I got to worry about
weather.
About cold, not being able to
it's
go.
It's not cold.
I almost had Carpath only the other day because of rain. Almost had Carpath only.
Man of the people.
So you can't.
That's something
that
the man of the people doesn't say. I almost had cart path only.
Yeah. So the summer allows you to know that it's going to be the same temperature all the time. What, fall can't do that for you too? You can't tell it's going to be a little cooler today. I can adjust. That doesn't work for you?
That doesn't work for me. Not in the least. I don't want to be cold. I might be cold today. Sorry.
So 70 degrees is cold to you.
Yeah. 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 Did you see Russell Wilson?
That's because you don't do any outside work. That's why I think.
No, I don't do any outside
work. People who actually work outside are like 70s. Great.
No. I don't need that in my life. I need 90, 95. I'm fine with it. Did you see Russell Wilson? I mean, is he – listen, is there anybody that's gotten that overspoke more than Sean Payton this offseason?
This is why you got – man. Stay humble, Sean. Yeah. He came in there trying to pump up Russell. I think a lot of what he said was trying to elevate Russell. But then he also said Russell, like he also made a comment that Russell wasn't like, he kind of got after Russell before the season started as well. And I think he was trying to motivate Russell Wilson. But the thing is, Russell may just not have it anymore. I just think mentally, I think playing with, you know, you had a situation where you had a head coach who's easygoing. You played off schedule a lot, out of structure. Russell made plays. And then you had Nathaniel Hackett, who was an in-structure guy. You have Sean Payton, who's an in-structure guy. I mean, they don't just let you freewheel and do whatever you want.
Does Sean Payton have it anymore?
What's that?
Does Sean Payton have it anymore?
Yeah, maybe without Drew Brees, he doesn't.
He doesn't. Well, and speaking of which.
I mean, it has been embarrassing
Bobby
for him.
Slowick, how about this? How about this? The adjustment that CJ Stroud talking about the adjustment that they made with Dalton Schultz to win that score that touchdown to give the go ahead touchdown. That's a rookie. You say, okay, Sean Payton, we ain't improvising here. We're gonna go by the playbook and do what I want you to do. Listen to Bobby Slowick talking about how they changed that route to set up. They set up that route to make what we thought could have been a game-winning play late in that football game, and trusting CJ, a rookie making his fifth ever start in the NFL.
I've referenced this before. All conversations with CJ, because of the preparation and how much study and work he puts in, are very easy, very fast. So kind of. How we got to that last touchdown was we had ran a concept a couple times in the game, and we saw a hole there, and we had a route in the game that to take advantage of it, but it was out of a different formation and a little bit of a different look with a different guy on it. And we had kind of been talking on the sideline, and CJ was comfortable with, you know, he had thrown it during the week. He was comfortable with trying to give it a shot with Dalton, and Dalton's probably the one guy on the team I would trust to be able to go out and execute something like that, you know, watching someone else do it. And, you know, we have a lot of trust in each other. If we're confident in being able to do it, I have no issue going out and getting something like that done when we had a rep during the week. Now, Dalton ran a filthy route. Like, it was awesome.
I love that. But that you can, with a rookie, do you think other rookies are doing that?
No, and I watched that play. So I went and watched all of C.J. Stroud's throws. And so they had run a route combination similar from that bunch formation, and he went underneath. You know, it's like a little over route from. It's like a little over route. Well, not really an over route, but I don't know what the route would technically be called that he ran in the up and in the middle of the field like that. I'm talking about Schultz,
mm-hmm.
And then you had a little hook route from underneath from I think it was Mechie or Woods. And out of that same bunch formation, and they ran a very similar route concept on that play, only this time he gave a little stem move inside and the safety dove down on it and he went over the top. The fact that they had seen that on tape, that they had seen that on pictures on the sideline, the fact that they had made that adjustment, that they knew they could attack over the top of a diving safety. What a smart, smart play, man. This is why Bucky Brooks and I, it'll come out today, move the sticks. I was on with Bucky Brooks. I spent a lot of time talking Texans. We spent a lot of time talking Texans. By the way, I rep the Astros, too, with the L.A. Dodger fan. So he had to hate it, but there's nothing they could do. I just said, look, I said, I've got time. He said, thanks for coming on. I know DJs. I said, I got time until Sunday. I mean, Astros don't play till Sunday, so I got some free time.
Yeah, and what are you guys doing?
I said,
they got
you
all
guys
kinds of free time.
Yeah, I said, and I know you've got free time.
Yeah,
it's Dodger fans, but
love
I
that
said for the second year in a row. But we talked a lot about C.J. Stroud, a lot about Tank Dell, Henry To'oto'o, about the rookie class. But I spent a lot of time on C.J. Stroud and just the fact that he is performing like a veteran right now. The things he's doing. Like a veteran football player. And I got to tell you, he is the first quarterback out of Ohio State. If you want to look, I believe you judge every player for who every player is. But there does become a time where NFL teams start to wonder if all these same issues come from a same position group, and especially quarterbacks, there's a concern. C.J. Stroud is breaking the Ohio State narrative. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's the guy that's a lot different than the other ones. But he knows ball. He's got football IQ. The S2 stuff is not having any issue with him right now. At some point, teams are going to recognize some of his tendencies, but he doesn't show a willingness to be haphazard with the football. Now, I will say, this last game, there could have been a couple interceptions.
Yeah.
That's the first time that I saw. Yep. But I think as he gets more comfortable, he's going to attack the intermediate throws more and more, and he's going to start realizing, hey, there's some shots I can take rather than checking down. And that's part of the growth process, but couldn't be happier. And if you told me right now, all right, Lance, we're going to reset it. You want C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young? I'm not hesitating. I say C.J. Stroud.
No, there's not a question.
And it's not fair to Bryce Young right now. He doesn't have the same setup, but I'm taking C.J. Stroud.
Well,
right
it
now.
Matters where you go, too.
It's less about Bryce Young, and right now it's more about how C.J. Stroud's playing.
It absolutely is. All right, taking a break. We got to talk about Houston Powder Coaters right now because they're just awesome. This is the best time for you to go. It's a busy time because all the HOAs are sending all of their pool furniture in because the pools are closed in the different HOAs. So they're sending their pool furniture in. So if you want to get your patio furniture back for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, now is the time to do it. If you want it back for Christmas, now is the time to do it. Get it in there and let Houston Powder Coaters take care of business for you. It's awesome. I drove by there yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's right there on the Hardy Toll Road. But you don't have to bring your stuff over there. They'll come and pick it up absolutely free. Free pickup and delivery of your whatever it is that you want to get powder coated. And it could be car parts. It could be boat parts. It could be metal that you just want to keep. It could be an old refrigerator or neon signs or whatever the case may be. It could be anything that's metal that you want to keep and make look new. They've got hundreds of different colors. And it doesn't matter if it's a color that they don't have. They'll mix it. They'll blend it. They'll get it done for you. Their service is second to none. The product that they give you is second to none. The primping and priming of all of this stuff, it is second to none. You're looking for a great way to get that patio furniture or whatever metal it is looking new again. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888. It's Houston Powder Coaters.
Get over here!
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
Red sun rises. Blood has been spilled this night.
Excellent.
If you feel the rage of hell in the sky.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Offensive Masterminds, running an outside zone on your intelligence. John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell. We're giving our Astros predictions for this series.
I refuse.
Well, what did you do last series?
I said Twins
and four.
Twins and four.
How'd that work out?
I don't care.
Dell says Rangers and four.
You can say whatever you want. I'm not making a prediction. You can't get me into making a prediction. I'm just here to watch. I'm just here to watch the games.
Michael Connor wants to know.
Oh, is he my boss?
Yeah. He's your boss. You see. If you could get get along with people here at the station this time.
I don't not get along with people.
Yeah.
Who has a problem with me?
Michael Connor, no.
How so?
Because you won't even answer a simple question.
He's trying to do the newsletter. He does our newsletter.
What newsletter?
Now. We have a new newsletter. It's good for his brand.
Oh, that what a line. It's good for your brand.
Yeah. What's your brand? Hater. That's your
brand. I'm not a hater.
Did you have the Twins in four?
I did.
Yeah. How do you feel about that now?
I don't feel one way or the other.
Hate.
I was asked a question, I answered. Didn't put any thought into it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I know you didn't put any thought into it. You picked the Twins.
Yeah, I picked the Twins. It didn't.
That's how stupid that was.
You know how bad I feel about it? Not at all.
Hmm. Why did West Virginia leave 12 seconds on the clock? They shouldn't have.
Should he have fallen down at the one?
Yeah, and then tied the game.
What?
It was 35-32. He could have tied the game, and they might have won. In this instance, they couldn't win.
Hmm. So you think they shouldn't have scored a touchdown because of the possibility of a Hail Mary coming through?
That's right.
As opposed to just going into overtime?
What happened?
Well, play better. Tell your defense to play better. You win the game.
They went up. Man Jack batted it in the air. Touchdown, Cougs. What? Yep. Big game. That was fun. That is.
Well, big game is a stretch. But, yeah, big win.
It again.
Big win.
Well, it could be really big for Dana Holgorsen.
A big win.
Yeah. No, it could be a huge win for Dana Holgorsen.
Man, it feels good to get a win like this. Like, it's an incredible feeling to have something you'll remember forever. That's like, I'll never forget when I played in a church league basketball game. Yeah.
No one
hit a shot
to hear
from half court
story.
In a game.
Where you know, played
same.
In something.
You know who doesn't feel great? Doug Belk. You know, he's thankful because we don't have to, no one's talking about him. But if we're actually analyzing things, that's not a great way to end a game.
It's a good point. By the way, you know, Sean Payton has, you want to talk about, you know, he overspoke in the offseason, mm-hmm. and he really did.
He really did.
Like, Sean Payton has shown he's, up to this point, no better than, he's still better than Nathaniel Hackett, who couldn't even handle any amount of clock management.
Awful.
They had to hire a clock management guy in the middle of the
season. You mean the Sean Payton who called a timeout?
Yeah.
Before halftime to give the Chiefs now time? Now, they probably would have called a timeout themselves, but he called it for them.
Yeah, good point. Good point, but this is the thing. They're locked into a long, expensive contract with him. They thought they stole. And here's a story that I heard from somebody.
And draft pick.
Here's why I heard this from somebody close to Sean Payton at Senior Bowl this last year. Sean Payton wasn't sure. He was hoping to get the Rams job. And so he's kind of just hemming and hawing, waiting to see if McVay was going to stay. And McVay decided to stay. And Sean Payton got scared that he'd never get this kind of offer again. Like, it's like, what is it, like $20 million a year? Something insane. And he thought, I'll never get an offer like this. Denver was not his first choice from what I was told. It was the Rams. And then when Rams or Cowboys. And then when he realized he wasn't going to get either job, he didn't want to lose out on that money, is what I was told. And so he decided, okay. So he reached out to him and like, let's do this. And so they did this, and now it's 1 year in, and they got some changes to make. I think Jerry Jeudy will get traded. Javonte Williams, they don't use him nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I know we're not talking Texans, and we'll get back to Texan stuff, but.
No, we're going to get
a great coach makes a difference. Like with D'Amico Ryans makes a huge difference, but right now Sean Payton's making no difference with Denver.
No,
and I think most people think he's a great coach.
8 points. They're bad. They're awful.
They're worse. The Broncos had a couple wins. I mean, it turned out poorly, but weren't they like 2-4 at a minimum?
They beat the Texans. Remember,
I think they had another win too. Sean Payton hired Vance Joseph for whatever reason. Vance Joseph hasn't called a good defense maybe ever. I don't know how he continues to get jobs. 70 points against the Dolphins, obviously the one that stands out. But they've been bad, period.
He could get fired midseason.
No. Oh, Vance?
Yeah.
Not Peyton.
No, not Peyton.
Not Peyton. All right. We got Beat the Limo guy next. So you're going to find out who to pick or not pick. It's up in the air now.
And we've got our competitor,
you follow
right?
Justin? Is Justin on a heater? We'll find out.
You got a competitor, Dell?
Yeah, we got one.
Okay, yeah, Daniel. Great.
Daniel's going to compete with the limo guy. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, we talked about your patio.
Yeah.
Great place to be this week.
Great place to be. I was
at Lance's patio. It's come over to his house.
No. Let's not go that far, guys. But just two nights ago, I was out there watching. I was out there enjoying myself, watching TV. I had the fajitas that I mentioned. I had them phenomenal fajitas. Put them on the grill. The outdoor kitchen is important because – it gives you a chance to really stay out there outside. When the weather's great, you're out watching your games. You got the sound system up in your pitched roof. So it's, you know, it's got that high pitched roof. You've got the speakers that are inside the roof. So it's great surround sound. You got one TV, maybe two TVs, big screens, however you want to do it. You got your kitchen, your grill, maybe a cooktop, your refrigerator. You can get your sink. If you want to get a sink out there, an island where you can sit and watch the games. Whatever you can think of, they can build for you. But the great thing is the people over there at Texas Custom Patios, they've done thousands of patios. So they understand an outdoor kitchen. So they understand what will look best with the space that you have. They got a lot of different things to choose from. And I think you'll be shocked that when you look at the before and afters on Texas Custom Patios, that you're going to find a backyard that looks a lot like yours. All they need is some space to work with, and it really doesn't have to be that much, and they can do something very, very special for you that changes the lifestyle that you have. It can really, truly change the way that you go about living your life. Improve your quality of life, improve the quality of your home, improve the value of your home with TexasCustomPatios.com. Don't take shortcuts. Go with the best. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Brother never told you never threaten a man's family.
Look at our family now.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.